The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We want to welcome our rebroadcasters that will be joining us live or on the rebroadcast of this via by Rumble or by YouTube or through the app. So if, as always, guys, if this is your first time joining us, please, in the comment section below, whatever platform you are listening or watching from, let us know that you are watching for the first time and where you guys are joining us from. I want to apologize for my voice. It is going in and out. Again, seasonal changes. It's not COVID. We've already been through there and done that last month. So just bear with me if my voice cracks a little bit here and there. We will work through that. We've got an interesting topic today. Does hell know who you are? Does hell know who you are? So I want to, let's pull up our screen here and give you a little bit of a, I want to give you a foundational scripture in which we're going to go off of here. And then I want to read an article. I want to discuss an article that came out recently that we posted on End Time Headlines. It kind of went viral on our website. And we're just going to kind of build off that. And we're going to see what the Lord has in store for us today. This is James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. Again, does hell know who you are? James 2, 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I want to say that again. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now I'm going to, in just a moment, we're going to show you some surveys, some polls in which professed Christians were asked if they believe in Satan, if they believe in demons, if they believe in hell. And there was at one time when I would have said, you will probably be shocked by the results, but honestly, we're in 2021, and with the way things are going and how the falling away is picking up pace and what we're seeing going on in the body of Christ as a, you know, I don't want to say every church, but a large portion of the church. Again, there would have been a time when you would have probably been shocked by the results, but now most of us are becoming numb, which is very sad, to the fact that biblical ignorance is at an all-time high right now. And we have to ask ourselves why, and we could get an awe in that. But let me get into this article. Let's go right into this article. I'm going to bring this up. This is from the Daily Mail, and other sources picked up on it as well. A 28-year-old woman who was possessed by devils or demons, whichever term you want to use, reportedly went through an exhaustive 9-hour exorcism to expel her of the devil. After she attacked an Italian priest during confession and began speaking Latin in 3 different voices. According to the report, again, this 28-year-old woman from the Church of St. Mary of Mount Barrico in Vicenza, Italy, with family members. This is where she attended. According to the report out of Italy, police and medics were alerted by startling worshipers. So this is in the middle of a service. Were asked to wait outside of the Church of St. Mary there in Italy. In northeast Italy during the intense prayer ritual that ended when a woman fell into a deep sleep. There was an exorcist who was present, according to the report, was assisted by monks as he repeatedly prayed at the side of the woman, with a second priest giving advice remotely by video. And according to one of the priests, he said, quote, this was a truly genuine case of possession. According to more details from the Daily Mail, witnesses stated that the unnamed woman began to scream and swear vulgarities inside the church and spoke in different voices and languages. The woman ran through confession rooms on the ground floor of the church, slapped her mother, and attacked the priest running the confession, according to local news reports. Four individuals there at the church intervened and held a nine-hour-long exhaustive exorcism for the woman who they claimed was possessed by the devil. The exorcism did not finish until 8:30 p.m. when the woman collapsed and was taken home by her parents and younger brother, according to local media reports. And again, one priest said, quote, "It was a real possession, and it was only in the evening that the situation was resolved when the girl physically collapsed." So again, did she really get delivered? Or did her body just give out? This is truly sad, guys. Now, we're gonna expound more on this. First of all, it should not take 9 hours to expel a demon out of somebody. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a second through scripture. But I want to, before we get there, I want to show you some stuff. Let me go up here first. Right here. This is an article. As you can see, it was posted in 2009. So you could imagine, I mean, this was over a decade ago. So I can tell you right now by just the climate that we're in the church, that this is the numbers that we're going to read here from the Barna poll is going to be far worse than it was over a decade ago. Let me read this headline, quote, "Most American Christians," and notice it says American Christians. It doesn't say Christians, but American Christians. "Most American Christians do not believe that Satan or the Holy Spirit even exist." I want to read this article here. I'm going to give you some excerpts on this. It's not new now, but a nationwide survey that was conducted in 2009 surveyed adults' spiritual beliefs that was conducted by the Barna Group, and this is the group that always does this, by the way, suggested Americans who consider themselves to be Christians have a diverse set of beliefs, but many of those beliefs are contradictory or at least inconsistent. Quote, the survey explored beliefs about spiritual beings, the influence of faith on their life, and their views of the Bible and reactions to faiths other than their own. In the poll, the Barna survey asked questions about God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Satan, and demons. Here's what they assessed. 1,871 that were polled, self-described, self-proclaimed, self-titled Christians were asked about their perception of God. In total, 78% said that he is, quote, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe who rules the world today. Now, look, I have a problem with that. Only 78% say that he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and creator of the universe. Only 78%. Again, biblical ignorance, even a decade ago, was starting to decline. I guarantee you if they took this poll, in fact, they did take this poll recently on some form or fashion, it was asked these same questions, and the results were even more shocking. The remaining one quarter chose other descriptions of God, depictions that are not consistent with biblical teaching. Unbelievable. In fact, they said when they were interviewed that they believe that everyone is God, or God refers to the realization of human potential, but there's not a creator or a all-dominant master of creation that holds all things together. For the other survey items, a four-point opinion scale was used to measure people's reactions to statements about each spiritual entity. Listen to this. Four out of 10 Christians or 40% strongly agreed that Satan is, quote, not a living being. 40% of 1,871 professed Christians believe that Satan is not a living being, but he's merely a, quote, symbol of evil. Now, guys, you know, but this really answers a lot of questions that you and I should have. Like, why many brothers and sisters in the body of Christ are not getting victory over the flesh? They're not getting victory over substances. They're not getting victory over lust. They're not getting victory over anger. They're not getting victory over strongholds. Why? Because if they have been convinced that Lucifer or Satan is not a real individual, and listen, if they don't believe Satan is real, it's pretty safe to venture to say that they don't believe in devils or demons, and they don't believe in hell. And we'll get into that in here in just a second. But listen, how can you engage in spiritual warfare if you don't even believe that your enemy exists? Hello? Let me pull up the scripture again. James chapter 2, verse 19. We're going to wait just a second for this to generate for the live viewing audience here. I apologize for the guys that are watching this and the folks that are watching this on the replay, but listen to this. I got to pull this up. James 2:19. You believe that there's one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Guys, how pathetic is it that none of the demons in hell or Lucifer or the spirit of death, the spirit of hell, or the spirit of Hades, whatever, none of them are sitting around arguing and debating whether God exists? They're not sitting around saying, oh, hey, guys, do you believe that this Jesus guy is really the Messiah? Do you really believe he's the Son of God like he says he is? That's not happening in hell, friends. But that's happening up here on earth. That's happening in churches in America. And now, why am I saying America? Because that's who was polled here. That's who was surveyed here. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I know personal missionaries that have been overseas outside of America who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And those folks over there, overseas, are not sitting around saying, hey, I wonder if demons are real. I wonder if Satan is real, because they're experiencing true demonic bondages, strongholds. We're talking about witch doctors. We're talking about sorcerers. We're talking about real black magic. We're talking about warlocks, and we're talking about witches. We're talking about real demonic warfare overseas. And them missionaries that go over there, if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, see, they can preach all this nonsense over here in America that's not even found in the Bible, that's not even in the basis of the principles of God, the hyper prosperity stuff, all this garbage that we've infiltrated the American Christianity with, an American church that has no power to set people free and no power to expel devils off people. See, because when I read the book of Acts, church, demons may have showed up in the church or in the synagogues, rather, if you want to be technical. They may have showed up in the synagogues, or they may have showed up in the house churches where they were gathering, but the individuals that were hosting the devils may have showed up carrying those demons in. But I guarantee you one thing, those demons were not comfortable in the service, and they were exposed and they were expelled before the end of the night, and the people left the synagogues and they left the temples and they left the home churches, and they were completely set free. Why? Because people were filled with the Holy Ghost and power. They weren't preaching humanism. They weren't preaching self-help sermonettes. to make you feel good. They were preaching. Paul said the gospel came not by word only, but by demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't know you were going to be preaching today. I thought you were just going to be talking about an article. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit's got something else in store, and I'm just going to let him talk a little bit if you don't mind. Okay, listen. 40% don't even believe that Satan is a living being, but that he's a, quote, symbol of evil. An additional 2 out of 10 Christians, or 19% of this polled survey, said they agree somewhat with that perspective. A minority of Christians indicated that they believe Satan is real. A minority. The smaller percentage believe that he was real by disagreeing with the statement. 26% disagreed strongly, and about 9% disagreed somewhat. The remaining 8% were not even sure what they believe about the existence of Satan. Again, my goodness, what is being taught and preached in the churches in America? Is anybody else concerned about this? Listen, I got kids. Listen, all these sermons that I preach and I teach every single week, do you know, we sit around with our kids and we talk about these things. Everything I preach to you guys, everything I teach to you guys, you can take it to the bank. My 13-year-old, he knows this stuff. He can get real deep. He knows more than Noah and the ark and Adam and Eve in the garden and the serpent in the garden. He knows far deeper than that. Because I refused to allow him to be indoctrinated by shallow, lukewarm, lily liver, spineless, washed up, diluted gospel. No, he's getting the full strength of the gospel in our household. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Much like their perceptions of Satan, most Christians do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a living force as well. Pathetic and sad. Golly, I could just spend 30 minutes on the importance of having the Holy Spirit. Listen, friend, if Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what tells you that you don't? Oh, let me see. You didn't hear me. I'm going to say it again for the back row. If Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, remember the Bible says when John baptized in the water, the dove appeared, the Spirit of God came upon him as in the bodily form of a dove. He was filled. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then the Spirit led him to be tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says when he came out, he was strengthened and he entered into Galilee with the power and might of the Holy Spirit and began to do miracles. Signs and wonders, raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick, and going about and doing good. And again, and I can show you in the book of Acts chapter 1, where he tells the disciples, go into the city of Jerusalem, go into the upper room, go and tarry and wait for the promise upon high. And it was not a suggestion. He commanded them. Go back, read it. I don't have time to pull that up because I don't have my notes, but it's in there. It's in the book of Acts. It says he commanded them to wait in the upper room until they received the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? It was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why did he command them to wait until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you and quicken your mortal body. And Jesus said it is expedient for me to go unto the Father, because if I don't go, I cannot send the Comforter. And the Bible says the same miracles that Jesus did, you will also do, and greater works shall you do, because I go unto the Father. But when you have a huge portion of Christians that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or they say it's of Satan, it's of the devil, it's done away with in the fourth century, a sensationist belief. No wonder we have a weak, powerless, defeated church that can't even, come on, get a devil out of a wet paper sack on any given Sunday morning or Wednesday morning. Overall, 38% strongly agreed and 20% agreed somewhat that the Holy Spirit is a, quote, symbol of God's power or presence, but is not a living entity. Really? When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will not speak on his own accord, but he shall speak to you that which he hears of the Father. Again, biblical ignorance. Just 1/3 of Christians disagree that the Holy Spirit is not a living force. 9% disagreed somewhat, 25% disagreed strongly, while 9% was not even sure. My goodness, get out of the dead, dry, ignorant churches. Run. A majority of Christians believe that a person can be under the influence of spiritual forces such as demons or evil spirits. 2 out of 3 Christians agree that such influence is real. 39% agreed strongly, 25% agreed somewhat, while just 3 out of 10 rejected the influence of supernatural forces. And I'm telling you, friend, that number is much higher today than it was then. Now I want to show you something else here. Look at this. This was written by Mark Strauss. And again, let me see if I can pull up. This was written for the National Geographic. You can find this at nationalgeographic.com. It was written in 2016. Look at this title, quote, "The Campaign to Eliminate Hell. A New Generation." Again, this was what, 5 years ago? "A new generation of evangelical scholars are challenging the idea that sinners are doomed to eternal torment, but traditionalists are pushing back." So listen, you want to know who the traditionalists are? Those who believe the Bible. We're called traditionalists. And I'll take that term. I've been called a Pharisee. I've been called old-fashioned. I've been called old school. I've been called out of touch because I actually believe in a literal hell. But look at this. There's a campaign to eliminate this. This teaching, this truth of the Word of God. By the way, hell was mentioned and preached on in the ministry of Jesus far more than heaven was. Go study it. Over the last 20 years, the number of Americans who believe in a fiery down under has dropped from 71% to 58%. Heaven, by contrast, fares much better, and among Christians remain almost universally accepted concept. Again, ridiculous. Listen to me, friend. For every truth, listen, there's an opposite. Let me watch this. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If there's angels, there's demons. If there's God, there has to be Satan. If there's good, there has to be evil. If there's light, there's got to be darkness. And listen to me, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, even though there's a campaign to eliminate the preaching and teaching of hell. But even Jesus himself said, "Wide and broad is the path that leads unto destruction, and many be that go into it, but narrow and compressed and difficult is the path unto eternal life, and few be there that find it. Underlining these statistics, we see here that there is many who find it difficult to reconcile the existence of a just, loving God with a doctrine that dooms billions of people to eternal punishment. Let me, again, I've said this over and over again, God has never sent anyone to hell. What? Let me say it again. God has never sent anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell because we have rejected him. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me just pull up a scripture here that I didn't plan on talking about, but we're going to have to discuss this because watch this. John, let's use this one. Every Christian can quote this scripture, John 3:16. Ready? Come on, everybody, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now they stop right there. Let's read the rest of it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now listen to verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. Again, this is John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Listen to me. What condemns, when we are born into this world, we already have a death sentence on us. This is why the Bible says we have to be born again. We have to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. But when we reject him, we automatically, by default, position ourselves to follow in suit with the devil and his angels, by the way, which is the original purpose why God created hell to begin with. So all those who take side with Satan will meet the same fate of Satan eventually at the great white throne judgment, whose name is not found written in the book. So again, it's a very sad testament that we have a growing movement of preachers, scholars, theologians, pastors, and the list goes on, who are actually, listen, I would be frightened to stand up behind a pulpit and tell my flock and tell my congregation that hell does not exist. Do you realize what you have done when you tell somebody that is a babe in Christ, that has not the understanding or the knowledge or the discernment of those that are mature in Christ? If you lead them to hell because of what you taught them, their blood will be accountable on your hands. And that's what my Bible teaches. Now let's go on. Let's get on and get back to the subject of this. Does hell know who you are? We're all in the same vein here. Now we just talked about a young woman who went through an exhaustive 9-hour deliverance to get, quote, delivered, which is, you know, it's not really specific, you know, it's not detailed whether or not she truly got delivered. But nevertheless, it was 9-hour exorcism. But watch this. I want to show you some Acts 19, 11 through 18. It's right there on the screen. If you're listening by podcast, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 18. Listen what it says. Now, God, this is in the New Testament. This is in the book of Acts. This is the apostles. Listen to this. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, the apostles, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, Brother Ricky, do you believe that can still happen today? Yes, and it still does. You can be anointed of God, and there can be so much anointing and presence of God that you could take a piece of cloth, handkerchief, a shirt. I've had people cut off pieces of a t-shirt and anoint it. And I've seen this work. I've seen salvation come from it. And it, listen, there's no, you know, we're not talking about a magic apron or going on Christian television and selling a bottle of magic holy water from Israel. And if you get into your house, everyone's going to be healed of cancer. Everyone's going to be saved and everyone's going to set free. It's not about the apron, guys. It's about a point of contact and faith in it. It's like anointing oil. If anointing oil alone can get people healed, get people set free, get people delivered, get people saved, don't you think there'd be more of it? Hello. But watch this. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. And now listen to what they said, quote, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. So it tells you who was doing this. Verse 15, and the evil spirit manifested, and listen what the evil spirit said. This is all highlighted in front of you. This is extremely important. The evil spirit manifested and said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" Oh, I got to stop right there for a second and preach just for a moment to you, and then we'll get back to the rest of it. Notice the demon knew who Jesus was. The demon knew who Paul was, but the demon did not know who the seven sons of Sceva were. What does that even mean? It means, listen, you cannot go around trying to cast out devils if you have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never been born again, and your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul had an encounter on the road to Damascus. He was transformed by a living God, had a relationship with God, spent God only knows how much time in the secret place. I can prove that to you because right after he got his encounter into Damascus, the Bible says he spent years in Arabia where he received divine revelations. He received about seven revelations in the New Testament. He taught, or seven mysteries, the mystery of the church and the mystery of the body of Christ, the mystery of the rapture of the church, the mystery of the second coming, the mystery, and there are seven mysteries that he got as his, where did he get that? In the secret place. He got that time, and he got that in his time of prayer and his time of devotion to the Lord and spending time in God's presence. Not only that, but I can take you to 1 Corinthians and I can show you where the Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all." This wasn't, listen, you know where he was praying? He was praying in the secret place. He was praying in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, put on the shield of faith, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the gospel gospel of the shoes of the gospel of peace. Put on the waist of the gospel. He says, put on the sword of the Spirit. Put on, he says, and praying always in the Spirit. Paul, in his secret place, would pray excessively in the Holy Spirit. But in the public place, he said, I would rather speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue, so that those who are listening may be edified. Oh, come on. Some of you are against preaching. Some of you are against speaking in tongues, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not only was it available for the early church, but it's available for the church today, because the Holy Spirit is still here today. He's still active today. He wasn't done away with in the 4th century, and he's still pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are prophesying. Young men are seeing vision. Old men are dreaming dreams. He's pouring out his Spirit today. And I'm trying to tell you that when you get an individual that goes and try to exorcise a devil out of somebody that has no relationship with, I don't care if they have degrees of theology, if they're a priest, if they're a deacon, if they're a bishop, a pastor, an apostle, I don't care what title they've got on their name. Listen, the whole church may know them. The community may know them. Their family may know them. The city and the mayor and the president of the United States may know who they are. But if heaven doesn't know you, then I can assure you that hell doesn't know who you are either. Come on, does hell know who you are? Let me go back to the text. I got to show you this. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Who's speaking? The devil, the demon speaking here. The demon is manifesting, speaking. And then, listen to this. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. So this spirit came out of the man, leaped onto the 7 sons of Sceva, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Listen, you want to make a dry, dead service, get alive real quick? Let a devil manifest in the service and start throwing 7 grown men across the room and ripping off their clothes. I guarantee you, you may come in that church and sit down and fold in your arms and refuse to get up and refuse to praise God and refuse to worship God and refuse to participate. But I guarantee you, if that took place in the church, it would get your attention real quick. And I guarantee you, you don't have to go hunt down the 7 sons of Sceva and ask them, hey, we're doing a poll today, and we wanted to know if you believe in demons. Do we believe in demons? Yes. And we've learned a valuable lesson. Number one, I better be known in heaven and known in hell before I even try to cast out these demons. And number two, these things came on us and beat the tar out of us and embarrassed us in front of the whole town. Come on. So let me move on. I got some more scriptures I want to cover here. Look at this. So here's the question. How did Jesus handle these demons? Did he counsel them when somebody came to him that was demon possessed? Did he say, you know, I really want to help you, but you're going to have to book an appointment. I'm really booked up now. I've got to feed the 5,000. I've got to sail over to the Galilee, to the Gadarenes. I've got to go to a young boy's funeral. I got to go to a centurion man whose servant is laying dead. I am completely booked up, but if you will book an appointment for me and chalk off 3 hours, then we're going to counsel that devil out of you. No, that's not what he did. Mark 1:27. Listen to this. Mark 1:27. I'm going to make sure. Hold on for just a second, guys. I want to make sure that I got the whole scripture here, not just part of this. Let me pull this up, because I want to make sure we get all this in here. Yes, But Jesus rebuked him, saying, now here's what he said. Watch this. Let's go to Mark 1. Let's start at verse 21. Mark chapter 1. I know it's 25 on here, but I'm going to read up here on verse 21. And then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Did you see that? That's a huge revelation right there. Jesus taught as one who had authority or power, but not as the scribes. The scribes came in with head knowledge, but Jesus came in power and authority. Nobody has ever cast out a devil with knowledge. Hello, that'll preach right there. Listen to this. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, listen, here's the demons manifesting out of him, or the spirits manifesting. Let us, and that's plural tense. So that tells me that this is not just one spirit, but it's plural tense. It's more than one spirit. Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Stop. Notice, nobody introduced Jesus to the devils or to the demons. I'm sorry, guys. I go back and forth with this. I don't want to play semantics with words here, but nobody introduced Jesus to the demons. Why? Because they knew who he was. And they said, leave us alone. What have you to do with us? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, how pathetic is that? People in the synagogue didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. The Pharisees didn't recognize him as the Messiah. The Sadducees didn't recognize him as the Messiah. The teachers of the law didn't recognize him as the Messiah. Caiaphas, it's questionable whether in the beginning, I don't believe he did know who he was, but towards the end he recognized, and I believe he got the revelation that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David. But all these cats don't know who he is. But notice this: these demons said, we know that you're the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. Now, how did Jesus respond to the demons? But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, quote, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Again, he didn't counsel them for 3 hours. He didn't go through a 9-hour exorcism. I'm telling you, this was probably a 30-second to 1-minute encounter. Jesus, he said, be quiet, come out of him. And immediately the spirit left the man, and the man was delivered. How did Jesus do this? By the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Again, even the Holy Spirit was upon the Son of God. We've talked about this. Now let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Listen to this. Right, let me pull this over here real quick, and then we'll go back to it. Then one of the crowd answered and said, this is a different scenario. Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and it becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Notice this, they could not cast out the demon. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from his childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and thrown into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, with tears coming down his face, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, quote, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And look what verse 26 of Mark 9 says. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And the man became as one who was dead, so that many even believed that he was dead. But it says in verse 27 of Mark 9, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples came to him privately. Oh, this is good. I got to pull this up here and show you this. You got to see this. But Jesus took him up by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples came to him privately. Listen what they asked. Why could we not cast it out? Now notice Jesus didn't say, you could not cast it out because you were not known by the devil. You were not known by Satan. You were not known by hell. You were not known by these demons. That's not what he said here. So that wasn't the issue. These guys were believers. They were followers of Christ. Hell knew who they were. Heaven knew who they were. Jesus knew who they were. The Father knew who they were. But listen to this. Verse 29. So he said to them, this kind, what kind? Demonic possession. Can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And with that note, I want to leave. So listen, here, let me give you a quick testimony, and then I'm going to give you the takeaway. Many years ago, we attended a church in Louisville, Kentucky. It was Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. It was during a 21-day time of prayer and fasting. During that time, there was a pastor that was called to go and pray to expel a young boy who was demon possessed. The phone call was made by the mother. They inquired of a pastor to come and deliver this young boy of a demonic possession. So this pastor grabbed his Bible, grabbed his oil. He did everything he knew. He came into the place and he walked into the room where this young boy was staying, who was abundantly obviously demon possessed. In fact, he was so possessed, when the pastor walked into the church, into his room through the threshold of the door, this demon manifested in the door and said, you can't cast us out because you're too full. And immediately, this pastor became grieved. And he turned around. He shut the door. He walked out of the room, walked downstairs or across the hallway, and he came to the mother and said, I am leaving for 7 days. I am going to go on he said, I don't want you to tell him, but I'm going on a full water only fast for 7 days. I'm going to spend 7 days, 7 nights in the presence of God, fasting, water only, and I'll be back. So she said, okay. So this pastor went home, went on a full 7 day, 7 night fast, water only, spend tremendous amounts of time in prayer and fasting and in the presence of God. Then came back to the same house, same boy, still demon possessed, came to the door of the where his room is. Before, as soon as he opened the door and stood there, the boy, he was demon possessed, began to convulse, began to scream out in the corner of the room, cornered in a room, and the demon manifested and said, oh, you've been with Jesus. And it was screaming for him to go away. And this man simply walked in there, spoke to this demon, commanded it, rebuked it, and commanded it to go out of the young boy. The boy was completely delivered, completely set free. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, here's the takeaway. Number one, hell is real. Number two, demons are real. Number three, Lucifer or Satan is real. And number four, you are not going to expel demons unless you are known by heaven, by the Father, by Jesus, and by hell itself. I remember many years ago, Leonard Ravenhill preached, he was preaching a message one time, and he said, I thrive every day to be on hell's most wanted list. Now, that's pretty bold to say that. How many believes you're asking for trouble? But listen what he said. He said, my goal in life is that when I get out of bed and I set my feet on the floor, that all hell is trembling and cringing, saying, Leonard Ravenhill is out of bed again. What are we going to do today to stop him from emptying hell and filling the halls of heaven with souls? Come on. I don't know about you, but that is provoking. That is challenging. So that is the takeaway today. I hope somebody's received something from this today. So listen, to all the skeptics, they need to know there is a real heaven. There is a real hell. There is a real Satan. There is real demons. And you say, well, how come they don't manifest in the church anymore? Well, probably because they're comfortable in the church and there ain't nobody in the church that has the power and authority to set them free. Well, how can you make such claim, brother? Well, listen, friend, in the Bible, in the book of Luke, there was a woman who was called a daughter of Abraham, meaning she had faith in the Lord under the old covenant. She was in relationship with God. She was known by heaven. But for 18 years, she went into the synagogue every week and she was bound by a spirit of infirmity, and nobody in the synagogue had discernment, had the power, and had the authority to set her free. And it was only when a man by the name of Jesus was sitting in the building, when she came to that service and he said, woman, thou art loosed. And she was set free, not from arthritis, not from scoliosis, not from bone spurs. She was set free from a spirit of infirmity. So if you want my answer of why we don't see a lot of this in the church today, is because a lot of demons are comfortable in the modern progressive church today, because ain't nobody. Listen, when you've got a majority of churches that don't believe in hell, they don't believe in the demons. Come on, they don't believe in Lucifer. Hello. And you wonder why they're not manifesting? Why would they manifest? Because again, look in the scriptures. When someone full of the power of God and the Holy Spirit comes into their presence, they manifest automatically. Oh, listen, I could preach on this. When Jesus set foot on the Gadarenes, there was a man that was bound by a legion or over 1,000 demons. When Jesus stepped foot in the Gadarenes, on the beach or the shores of the Gadarenes, those demons manifested immediately. The man in whom they were bound, or who the host was of these demons, fell at his knees and said, thou son of God, why have you come to torment us before thy time? See, when you get in the real presence of God, friend, it's going to expose everything, good and bad. And that's why I'll never stop preaching this. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in the churches again. Come on, make churches great again. How do we do that? Bring back the power of the Holy Ghost. Bring back the principles, the teaching, the fundamentals, the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how we'll bring back the church. Come on, and make it fully what it was in the book of Acts, the book of Acts church. Again, endtimeheadlinesguys.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I know we said a mouthful today, guys, but I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's been informative to you. endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please go and subscribe to our main website. That's where you're going to find all of our podcasts. That's where you're going to find our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And download the free app today, available on Apple and Android. Again, it's free. Just download it, get it into your hands, push yes to push notifications. You're going to get our podcast where you can watch, you can listen, you can read all of our headlines right there at your fingertips. And again, as always, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing to you on a weekly basis, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner, and you can do that two different ways. Either give electronically through the app, through the main website, or you can give by check or money order by easily making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's going to be our main mailing address, and that's where you can donate by check or money order as well. So we're going to pray a blessing over you today. Again, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the bell of the push notifications. Don't forget to share this with others that you believe will be blessed by this message or messages like this. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to take off tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday and Friday to finish off this week. And then we head into next week, which is the week of Christmas, if you can believe that. Wow, we're closing out. We're getting ready to shut out 2021 on our calendar. So I pray the Lord's blessings be upon you today. Father, I pray that this revelation word goes forth and it equips and it prospers in that which is sent forth to do, and it brings forth much fruit. I pray a blessing over everyone under the sound of my voice today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.